You may be seated. It's good to see all of you here. Thank you so much for coming. Remember tonight at 6 o'clock and then Monday through Wednesday at 6:30. And it's going to be a great time. You're going to enjoy it. But most of all, we're going to hear the Word of God preached to our hearts. And so I'm excited about that this evening. All right. We've got Brother Jerry Nash and his sweet wife Dot with us today. And Brother Nash pastored for a number of years. He was the director of missions for the Harmony Association. That's out Lake City way, right? You know, that way. And did a great job out there for what, 18 years? 18 years. And so it's just a privilege to have him here with us for this week. And I know your hearts will be blessed. So let's take out our Bibles, please, and get ready to jump into the Word of God and have our hearts refreshed. All right? Brother Nash, please come.
I do appreciate the opportunity to be here and share with you from God's Word. If you will, take your Bible and turn to Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians chapter 3. I'm not sure that y'all know how blessed you are to have the worship leadership that you have, and the singing and the worship, the celebration. If y'all don't get out much, you don't know what you have. So let me just tell you, you ought to thank God that you're able to come in and worship and sing and lift up the Lord and have your heart lifted up and getting ready for the Word. That's just great. So y'all are to be commended for that, and the worship team and all of that. That is great. And I'm not just making this up. You may wonder, I'm just trying to come up with something nice to say to start with. No, I'm telling y'all the truth. I'm telling you the truth. Y'all got it good. And but I want to talk to you this morning from Ephesians chapter 3. But I want to ask you a question, first of all, as we think about all that we want God to be able to do and all that we expect God to do, and of all the things that are going on in our country, that you and I probably already agree that it's nothing short of a miracle of God and the power of God that's going to reclaim this land again for His people. So we come to the question today, and I don't want you to answer this out loud. I want you to answer this in your own heart and mind. Who's more powerful, you or God? Who's more powerful, you or God? Because what Paul says to the church, he says, beginning in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 17, he says that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth, the length, the depth, and the height, and to know that the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now pay attention to verse 20. You need to mark this. Now unto Him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we could think or ask, according to the power that works in us. According to the power that works in us. I believe what Paul is saying to the church and saying to you and saying to all of us today, that all of what we need in this country, all that what we need in our families, our homes, our churches, all that we need the power of God to come in and show up and show out in a marvelous way. But what Paul says, that happens according to you. According to you. He says it very plainly right here, according to the power that works in us. Now, if the world would look at us in our community, so many of the people that look into the church today, and if they judge Jesus by what they see in our churches, they'll be able to look and see Jesus never did cause blind eyes to see. He never did cause lame people to walk. He never did cause dead men to come forth from the grave. If they were to look at the church today, you wonder, where is the power and the glory of our risen Lord and Savior Jesus Christ? And so I think we ought to spend some time here, because I believe that this church and this nation needs, once again, to see a mighty moving of the power of God. Something that is beyond us, that we would know we don't have a whole lot to do with that, and we didn't do it, God did it. But then it comes back to, yeah, we did have something to do with it, because God is wanting to do what He wants to do, but He wants to do it through us, through His people. And so we need to go back and understand very simply, God does through us what He wants to do. So what God does through you is determined by you. So don't go pharisaical on me or anything this morning when I simply say, who's more powerful, you or God? Of all the things that God wants to do for you, through you, don't you know you can stop it? I think we've probably got people sitting here today that understands that y'all have done some things, I've done some things, we've done some things that God didn't. God would have done so much more with us if we hadn't have done this, that, or the other. If we had followed Him, maybe been more obedient, whatever, your list is your list, but we need to go back and understand of all the things that God wants to do, all the things that God is able to do, sometimes is hindered by us. And I just want to, if you're one that takes notes, I'm going to give you just about three words today. We hinder the Word of God when we are not going, when we're not out there going into the world. Because as we look at the Word of God and what Paul is saying to us about going out into the world and growing in faith and growing in our Scripture, and just keep this in mind. Paul had wrote to the church at Corinth, and he simply said, eye hath not seen, ear has not heard, nor has entered into our hearts the things that God has in store for those who love Him. You got all of these things that you think you want God to do, that you want to see God to do. Paul says you really hadn't seen all the things that God has in store for you. And of all the things that you can think about and dream about and pray about, Paul says you ain't seen nothing yet. What God wants to do in you and through you, according to and for those who love Him. Because in Isaiah chapter 6, you remember Isaiah's call. In the year King Uzziah died, and for some of you, there are times in our history and our life, what Isaiah is really saying is it was a terrible time. On those days, King Uzziah, it's like most of you in here probably can tell me exactly where you were when it was when you heard that JFK had been assassinated. It's one of those things that most of you who are here can remember exactly where you were when those planes started hitting the World Trade Center on 9/11. You know, it's one of those kinds of moments when you know it takes you back. It makes an imprint on your life. And Isaiah is saying, in the year King Uzziah died, he was our hero. He was a good king. What are we going to do now? You know what Isaiah said? I was in the temple. I saw the Lord. Regardless of what else goes on, I saw the Lord. I don't know what your circumstance is. I don't know how bad your day is. I don't know what you're facing. Isaiah saw the Lord. Of course, when you see the Lord, he saw himself, and then he saw the people around him. But it's a strange thing, when Isaiah saw those people, after he saw himself, he realized, I'm a sinner. But then he said, all of these people, I live in a land of unclean people. I live out there amongst lost people. And folks, the closer you get to God, when you see God on His throne, you will see the people outside your door. And you know what the word is? Do you know what Isaiah heard from the throne of God? Who will I send and who will go for me? Well, God, you know them people out there, they're lost. You just go save them. Isaiah did not say that. Isaiah did not say, well, God, if you really love those lost people, you go save them. He didn't say that. What Isaiah did say was, here am I, send me. Why? Because what God does, He does through His people. Isaiah could have easily said, and some of us, we've been in church long enough to just, we had this idea, yeah, we know who God is, we know He's on the throne, we know we've been saved. And if God wants to save everybody else, He will. But it's interesting that Isaiah says, here am I, send me. Remember what Jesus said before He went back into heaven? All power, all authority is given to me in heaven and earth. Go and make disciples. Go ye therefore. And so there's something that we need to understand about the power and the glory of God and what God wants to do in this world. We hinder the power of God when we are not going out there into the world. And we look at so many times we figure out we're just limiting what God wants to do in us and through us, for us. The story's told about a man in prayer meeting one time. Wednesday night prayer meeting. He was praying. He had a neighbor that had a serious situation, serious condition. And so in prayer meeting, while he was praying, in the middle of his praying, he was praying, God just reached down and touched that man. Well, prayer meeting, the man got up and walked out. He got walked out, just sort of left everybody like there in the middle of the prayer. Sunday morning came and somebody said to him, you just got up and walked out Wednesday night. What's with that? Brother Steve, the man said, when I was praying, I was wanting God to reach down and touch that man. I realized the only fingers God's got is mine. Only fingers God's got is yours. And when you pray for God to touch somebody, it might just be that it's your touch that God's going to work through. I don't understand that. And don't argue with me about how powerful God is and how God can do all of this. I know that. I know God is the one who spoke this world into being. When He said, let there be light, there was. I know that. But we hinder the power of God when we are not going out there into this world because we hinder and we limit what God wants to do through us to display His power and glory. And I believe what's wrong with a lot of people today, the reason we're not going is because we're not growing. We don't go because we're not growing in our spirituality. We're not growing in our relationship with the Lord. And I go back many, many, many years. I got this picture somewhere. I am presenting a plaque to this lady who has 25 years of Sunday school perfect attendance. Still sitting in Sunday school class. Every Sunday, sitting there. Calls me one day to go witness to somebody she was concerned about after 25 years of perfect attendance and no growth. Paul would write to the church and say, you still need milk, and by this time I have to feed you milk, but by this time you ought to be on the meat of the word. You ought to be growing. And I know as well as you do, some people can, in their Christian experience, have the same experience year after year after year after year after year and never grow, never mature spiritually, never grow up, still in diapers. And you think, well, God, you're going to have to do this through somebody else. Can't use me. Use somebody else. And so when we don't grow, we don't go. Don't know what to say, don't know what to do. Always waiting on somebody else to do the going. It's like churches do that. Oh, well, let the bigger churches, they can do this, they've got that, and just leave it to somebody else, some other church. Leave it to somebody else. little man said to the big man one time, he said, there's a lot of bears. Why don't you go out there in the woods and find the biggest bear you can and wrestle him till you kill him? The big man says to the little man, there's a lot of little bears in the woods. There's a lot of things out there that's our size. According to the power that works in us. See, we limit the power of God when we're not going. We limit the power of God whenever we're not sowing. Remember, Paul would say when they were fussing about Apollos, and, you know, Paul just simply said, I planted, Apollos watered, and God gave the increase. I did my part, Apollos did his part, and God did his part. We need to understand how all that works if we can. We understand that we do our part in the planting of the seed. When we are not sowing the seeds of the gospel, we hinder the work of God. And there's probably, I would say, people in hell today because some of God's people didn't go share the gospel with them and share the good news of salvation. Share how God can take them off the road toward hell and put them on the road toward heaven. Whenever we are not out there sowing the seeds, we hinder the work of God day in and day out. Because, folks, without the planting, there's not going to be the harvest. You look at Galatians, you'll understand the laws of the harvest, the planting and the sowing and the seeds that all need to go and be planted out there day in and day out. And so we look at this and we pray, God, bless this seed I'm not sowing. Y'all with me? God, bless this seed I'm not sowing. And we expect Him to. We expect Him to. As though everything's going to be all right one day. We sing that song, sowing in the morning, sowing in the noontide, and the dewy eve, waiting for the harvest, and the labor ended. We shall come rejoicing, bringing in the sheaves. I don't guess we sing that much anymore. Because we can't come rejoicing, bringing in the harvest, because we're not sowing the seed. Now, you know as well as I do, you can go down to the store, the hardware store, wherever you buy seeds, and you can look on them racks and there's a lot of beautiful pictures there. Oh, there's pictures of watermelons and cantaloupe and tomatoes and pole beans, string beans, green, you know, whatever kind of beans you want, all kind of peas. You know, all of those packages that have those pretty pictures. The anticipation of what those seeds are going to produce. But you know as well as I do that until you get that package of seed, and you take that seed and you plant it in that dirty ground, the dirty earth, there's not going to be a harvest. There's not going to be food on the table. There's not going to be those tomatoes and watermelons and cantaloupes and all of those things we enjoy eating until you take that seed and put it in the dirty ground. And folks, there's a lesson there for us. When we look at these, our world, I don't need to tell you, our world's messed up. There's some crazy people out there. There is a world of hurt out there. There's a world of pain and sorrow and suffering. All of that is out there. And so what God needs is for His people to go out and sow His word in a world, a dirty world, a filthy world, a world of things that's going on that probably you grew up not even imagining how we would come to the place we are in our society. The filth, the dirt, the despair. And one of the problems is we have so much packaged Christianity. Oh, it's sweet. And y'all, I don't want to hurt your feelings or anything, but y'all look so good in here. It's like a picture. We hinder the work of God when we're not sowing the seeds out there. So when you pray for somebody's salvation, when you pray that God would do things, whatever it might be, give God something to work with. He wants to do that through you. He wants to do miracles through you. Remember what Jesus said, follow me and I'll make you fishers of men. You're not what you're not yet what you're going to be, but hey, you let me work with you, we'll get things done. And he did. And he says the same thing to you. Read your Bible, you'll understand that we hinder the work of God whenever we are not out there sowing the seeds. We hinder the work of God when we're not going and we're not growing. But another thing that keeps us from letting the power and the glory of God be revealed in us and through us, we hinder the work of God, we hinder the will of God, we hinder the power of God when we are not glowing. Y'all follow me? Real simple. Who's more powerful, you or God? Because you stop the power of God when you're not going, when you're not sowing, when you're not glowing. What's Jesus say? Sermon on the Mount. You are the light of the world. Oh, Jesus, I thought you were. No. God in us, shining through us. That's the way it works. That the power and the glory of God. Now, John got it. John got it in his first epistle, chapter 5, when he says, he who loves his brother abides in the light, but he who hates his brother lives in darkness. Then he would go on to say that you are the light of the world and the light of the world in us and through us shining out into a dark world. That's what we are, to let Christ shine in us. This is the message, John said, that you've heard from the beginning, that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. We understand he is the light of the world. Y'all don't hear me taking anything away from God. Remember now, I done said when he said, let there be light, there was, because he is the light. Okay. But when that light does not shine through you, what does that do? It stops it. Why is there so much darkness within a stone's throw of your house? The light's not shining. The light's not on. Up in North Georgia, if y'all ever figure out where I pastored up there for a number of years, you'll figure out where this church is maybe. There was a property dispute. Man put up a fence. The neighbor come and tore it down. Man put up a fence. Neighbor come and tore it down. Property dispute. Man wanted to, I don't know, dig a pond or something, so it become real important about exactly where the property line was, but they had a dispute. Got guns involved, got the law involved. Those things just don't happen amongst just a handful of people. Everybody knew about it. Everybody in the community, everybody in the county knew about it. And do you know what they knew about it? The two men were both deacons at the same church. The same church. And the light grows dim. And people see that. Every time a church has a fuss, I've been in a bunch of those 18 years. I've seen the best and the worst. But every time there's a fuss in a church, the light grows dim. It doesn't stay inside these walls. The devil uses that to spread it here, there, and everywhere. And the light grows dim. I was preaching a revival in Mississippi a number of years ago, and so after worship we were out standing around and on the road. Coming down the road, probably maybe at least a half mile away or maybe more, this dog starts barking. And it gets louder and louder and louder and closer and closer and closer, quickly. But as the dog was barking, you could hear other dogs way down there. Dogs started barking. Almost like it is, a dog can hear a siren, an ambulance or something before you can, and they'll start barking. But Dogs started barking. And finally I figured out this dog is in the back of a pickup truck just having him a wonderful time, just going down the road, barking. He gets on path, and then I can hear other dogs start barking. Just barking because somebody else is barking, and these dogs don't even know what they're barking at. They're just barking because somebody else was barking, and so y'all already figured that one out, ain't you? There's a lot of dogs barking today because they just hear somebody else barking and they got to bark too. And the light grows dim. I would say we ought to know better. We do know better. That's not the point. We do it anyway sometimes. We're the light of the world, and the power and the glory of God is to shine through us. Paul said that in 2 Corinthians, that we are the same thing. The power and the glory of God shining through us. If this world is going to see God, they're going to see God in us. They're going to see God through us. They're going to see that light shining through us. And as the world and the community sees what's going on, not just in our churches, I'm not getting personal with you about your church today because it's the first time I've been here. And Brother Steve and I both have enough sense. The preachers don't talk to evangelists about what to preach. God just, so I don't have a clue. Except I done told you what I found out. I done learned about y'all. Y'all know how to sing and worship. That's good. So as a, I'm not going to talk about as a church. I want to talk about you. How much of the people that you interact with day in and day out on an ongoing basis that are struggling? There's darkness out there. There's sin, filth, all that stuff. It's out there where we work. It's in our sometimes in our homes where we live. It's in our families, our communities. And you know beyond any shadow of a doubt what these people need is the light of the gospel, the power and the glory of God shining in their life. But let me tell you something. If the power and the glory of God is going to shine into the darkness of the lives of those people that you know that need that, it's going to happen through you. That's what Paul is talking about here when he says, he's talking about according to the power that worketh in you. According to the power and the glory of God shining through you. Do they see light or darkness when they see you? Who's more powerful, you or God? Turn with me, if you will, or at least write this down. I want to look at Matthew chapter 13. Jesus goes back home one more time. Back to Nazareth. And in Matthew chapter 13, and verse 58, the last recorded visit of Jesus to Nazareth that we have, he's doing some things there, and the people gather. I'm going to start with verse 55. Oh, Is not this the carpenter's son? Is not this his mother called Mary? And his brothers, his brethren, James and Joseph and Simon and Judas. And his sisters, are they not all with us? From where then hath this man all these things? And they were offended in him. But Jesus said unto them, if you've got a red letter edition, this is what he said. A prophet is not without honor except in his own country and in his own house. And the Bible says, verse 58, y'all need to memorize this one, and he did not many mighty works there because of their unbelief. Isn't that weird? He didn't do it there. This is the same Jesus that called Lazarus out of the grave. He touched blinded eyes and healed them. He touched lame men and they walked again. He cast out demons. The same Jesus did not do it there because of what? Them. It doesn't mean he's not able to do it. It doesn't mean he doesn't want to do it. It doesn't mean he really don't love those people anymore. It's because of their unbelief they were not able to see the miracles of God. They were not able to see the power and the glory of God. They were not able to see what they so desperately needed because of their unbelief. The world says, show me and I'll believe. And God says, believe and I'll show you. You have an earthly perspective or a heavenly perspective? You may have heard that before already. I hope so. If not, that's another one of those things you ought to memorize. The world says, show me and I'll believe. And God says, believe and I'll show you. And without belief, Jesus didn't do anything else around there. Could have. Probably wanted to. What made them different than everybody else? Their unbelief. And I would say to those who are God's people here today, if there's not some kind of change in your life, some kind of radical transformation, some evidence that you have been miraculously and powerfully transformed by the Word of God and by the Lord Jesus Christ coming into your life, if there has not been some miraculous expression of that change, don't go tell people you're a Christian. They'll probably say, I don't need any more of that. They don't. If you can go out there and live like the devil, don't tell people you're part of this congregation. They don't need that. What our people need in a desperate time, and they may be full speed ahead, headed toward heaven, headed toward hell, having a great time, and they think everything is fine. But what they desperately need to know, regardless of their condition, is that there's still a God in heaven. He is still on the throne, and one day you will bow. They need to know that. They need to know how much God loves them, wants to save them. Matter of fact, you may be here today and you don't know Christ yet as your personal Savior. You know, it's interesting that from the very foundation of the world, God laid out the plan of salvation. Jesus died on a cross for your sins. The Bible is clear, whosoever will may come. The Bible is clear that God is not willing that any should perish. He gives some guidelines. Whosoever will may come. Pretty simple, ain't it? You know, it's interesting. Back to my question. Who's more powerful, you or God? God's got the power. If you're here today and you're not saved yet and you don't know Christ as your personal Savior, God's got the power to take you off that road that you're on toward hell and turn your life around, take you off the road toward hell, put you on the road toward heaven. He's got the power and the desire and the love for you to do that for you today, right here. If you walked in this building on your way to hell, you can walk out of this building on your way to heaven. That's the Word of God. That's the power of God. That's what God wants to do in your life. But do you know what stops the power of God working in your life? Your unbelief. So that's up to you. That's a personal decision to surrender your life to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. God wants to save you. He's got the power to save you. But believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Who's more powerful? See, there are people, and it amazes me, that people are still know they're lost. They know they're on their way to hell. They know they're not going to heaven. They'll tell you, some of them actually tell you that. Why? Because they decided that. They've made up their mind to that. Who's more powerful, you or God? You may be here today and you're already a Christian. You know beyond any shadow of a doubt God's got something better for you, and there's a problem that's so big you can't handle it, but you know God can handle it. What's stopping you? Or should I say, what's stopping God? Some of you already have been a Christian long enough to know that there's probably no limit to what God wants to do in you and through you. Some of you live long enough to know that God has done some things in you and through you that you know beyond any shadow of a doubt only God could have done it. You've got testimonies. You've got witnesses of the things that God has miraculously done in your life. What's revival about? God, do it again. Do it again. Do it again in me. In me. I hope that's your prayer today. God wants to bless this church with mighty miracles. He wants to bless your personal life, whatever your need is. He knows. We don't know. Person on the pew with you probably don't know, but you know. Above all that we ask or think, according to the power that's in you, His power. Can you stop it? Yes. Will you? That's up to you. If you're lost, are you going to walk through that door on the way out them doors, saved and on your way to heaven, or lost and on your way to hell? That's up to you. You need a special touch from God, and you want God to do something in you and through you that only He can do? Do you want to let His power and His glory shine through you into the darkness of this world? That's up to you. According to the power that works in you and through you. Let's pray. Father, thank You for Your word. I pray that it might help us, encourage us, help us to respond according to Your will. Father, I pray that in all things that You would speak truth into our lives. And then give us enough wisdom and courage to not only hear what You say to us, to not just believe what You say to us, but to do what we need to do to let You do what You want to do. For this is our prayer this morning in Jesus' name. Amen.